Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, the NFL Draft. Round one in the books. A lot of things happened. A lot of things to discuss. We also have the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Our good friend Randy Moss is on the show. We break down the Derby with him, maybe a little Oaks picks too on Friday, which you got to get in right after you listen to this. We have Firefest of the Week, and we say goodbye to Billy for a month. He's going to go away, month plus, I don't even know. He will send us off. He said that he might be cool if we like roast him or something, so maybe we'll give that a try. I don't know. We have all of it. It's an awesome show. A lot to get to. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Bose. Go right now to Bose.com/Barstool to rule the quiet with your own Bose Quiet Comfort earbuds. Today is Friday, April 30th. The Bears are back.
Congratulations, Big Cat. Huge day for you.
The Bears are back.
The Bears drafted a contract extension for Ryan Pace.
Don't do that. Why are you going to do that? Why are you shit on me right away?
All right, I won't shit on you right away.
I'm sorry that you got a fucking Kentucky linebacker. Relax.
Yeah, an elite Kentucky linebacker.
But don't shit on me. I wasn't going to shit on you. Your guy has fucking awesome abs. Hank, congrats on getting a quarterback.
Thank you.
Come on. Don't be that guy. The Bears are back. Let me have a moment. The Bears traded up. Got Justin Fields. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers, who is very disgruntled and wants out of Green Bay. Pretty much a picture-perfect day from start to finish.
He's actually a perfect fit for you because you love the Big Ten and you love talking about quarterbacks with broken ribs.
Yes.
He's your rib guy.
Yes, he is a rib guy. Oh, and also, Bloopy, go fuck yourself, dude. That's just a stray shot. All right, so the draft. The draft happened. Let's break it down. It was actually pretty fun. Like, it felt like, I think that the entire day, what the 49ers did by trading up to 3 and then keeping everything a secret, and it turns out they basically told no one. They didn't tell anyone in their entire scouting department who they were going with. We had one, Chris Sims, I think, started the rumor a couple weeks ago that they were eyeing in on Mac Jones. The entire internet tore Mac Jones down because of that. And then, after the Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson picks, which we all knew were going to happen, the 49ers go and get Trey Lance, and all is right with the world, which I love. I love that we were going to say it was the worst pick ever, and then it's another guy who we don't really know about, but now it's a great pick.
It's a great pick because it's not Mac Jones, because the internet revolted against him. There might have been some discussion behind the scenes between Kyle Shanahan and Bill Belichick at that pro day. Like, I would not put that past Kyle Shanahan, because this is the best smokescreen that I think I've ever seen in the NFL draft.
And I will give the 49ers credit for this. The I saw a couple, I think Doug Gottlieb did tweet, like, oh, Mac Jones was a bad pick at 3, but now he's a good pick because the Patriots took him. No, that wasn't the point. The point was the 49ers traded a lot to get up to 3. And you shouldn't take a guy at 3 that you could potentially have at 15, like the Patriots.
Exactly.
Got. So they got their guy.
It's a good pick at 15.
Right.
But again, we're also grading this on the night of the draft. You know, we should grade players. I think Mac Jones gets an A+. I think Trey Lance gets an A+. I think Justin Fields gets an A+.
They all get A+. But the Trey Lance kind of started, you know, like that was the thing that was talked about all day. The Aaron Rodgers piece was interesting all day long. It felt like every single tweet got more dire for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers relationship. I personally, as not even a football fan, like I'm not even talking sports. I'm talking about just life. I want Aaron Rodgers to be happy. I want him to find happiness. I don't want him to be miserable where he's not wanted. Could you imagine working for someone who's like, I don't want you here. I'm going to draft your replacement. That's got to be an awful feeling. So I'm more power to him. Workers of the world unite. Aaron Rodgers, you deserve happiness.
I think he's going to go to Denver. And it's got to be an awesome life to be a Broncos fan. Because it's like, yeah, you get a couple seasons that are, you know, mixed in here and there. But then you just get good quarterbacks that just want to come to you.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers sounds like he wants to go there. There's rumors that Shailene Woodley, does she live in Colorado?
Maybe.
His new wife?
What were you going to say, Hank?
I was going to ask what makes you say he's going to go to Denver so confidently.
Basically just Mark Schlereth being like, hey, I took a break from pissing my pants and flipping off Jets fans on Twitter to say that the deal was almost done. That might have been a little bit premature.
Yeah, no, so, well, I would guess maybe the Broncos, just by process of elimination that you have, I guess the Raiders would still be there, but the report was that Aaron Rodgers wanted to go to the Niners, the Raiders, or the Broncos. The Niners obviously draft Trey Lance, so that's probably out. And then the Broncos don't draft a quarterback. They have Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, two guys you probably don't believe in long term. And then the Raiders, you know, I guess the Raiders would still be in that situation where it would be crazy if you'd want to go play for John Gruden. Because that feels like Aaron Rodgers, I feel like, wants to go somewhere where he can just run the offense. Vic Fangio would be the perfect place. Whereas if you go to the Raiders, like, John Gruden will try to tell you that he knows more than you about football.
Right, and Aaron Rodgers wants to go somewhere. Aaron Rodgers likes to be mentally stimulated. Mm-hmm. And I think all the things that John Gruden cares about, Aaron Rodgers does not give a shit about.
The happiest tweet I saw pretty much of my life was Ian Rapoport saying that the feeling is that Aaron Rodgers did so well with Jeopardy that he has now that option to go host it. So everything that I've been trying to put out in the world, I don't know if you've seen, but I became a reply guy on Aaron Rodgers' Instagram. Every time he posted an Instagram post, I just said, Aaron, you're so good at Jeopardy. Like,
right.
The fans deserve to get more Aaron Rodgers. So please just retire from football and go play, you know, do Jeopardy.
Would that be the greatest called shot of all time in my career as a reporter when it was announced that he was going to fill in for Alex Trebek he's going to be the full-time host of Jeopardy and quit football to do it? If that wild take ends up coming true.
I need it to happen. So either way, Aaron Rodgers is clearly upset. I hope this isn't just grandstanding and posturing. I really don't want this to be... You know what? I don't fucking care. Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers anyway.
Listen, just as an owner of the Green Bay Packers, it's about the team. And Aaron's acting like he's above the team right now. No one person is bigger than the cheese. Mm-hmm. That's the old saying we have in Green Bay.
I'm just
It
happy.
Is funny, though, how the Packers went out of their way. They drafted another defensive player. That's like 8 out of the last 9 years. And the 1 year they didn't do that, they got a quarterback. In the first round.
Quarterback.
So like 8 out of the last 9 years, they drafted a defensive player. Someone who they'll actually make Aaron Rodgers' job more difficult in practice by drafting him. So I don't know if that was like twisting the knife or whatever. That was the second biggest news of the day. First biggest news, Tim Tebow's back.
Tim Tebow's back. He is such a fucking attention whore, annoying piece of shit.
Yep. He's converted now.
He's so annoying.
He's converted. They did electroshock therapy on him, and now he's coming out as a tight end, and he's saying, I will change my position if it can get me into the NFL. He's 33 years old, by the way.
Could you imagine if he had just had the presence of mind to be like, I was one of the funnest college football players of all time, one of the best college football players of all time. I accomplished such great things. Maybe instead of doing this circus act where I refuse to be a tight end to get attention, where I go to play for the Mets to get attention, then I come back and say I'm going to ready play tight end at age 33 for more attention. Like, dude, you had it. Like, everyone loved Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
But he's just exhausted.
It's funny because he is like a 5-year-old that keeps changing his mind about his career, what he wants to do. He's like, I want to be a baseball player. No, I want to be a football. I wouldn't be surprised if Tim Tebow just became an astronaut after this year.
It's brutal.
And the report was that he lives 3 doors down, I think, from Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
So I guarantee you Tim Tebow has just been like sprinting shirtless down the street in front of Urban Meyer's house in hopes that one day he'll be like, hey, Tim, you want to try to give him ball a shot again. And it worked.
Yes, it did work. All right, so other things from the draft. It was, so there wasn't a ton of surprises. I guess the big surprise to start was Jaylen Waddle going sixth to the Dolphins, where everyone thought that it would be either Devontae Smith or possibly not a wide receiver. Like we all thought, oh, there's going to be one wide receiver, maybe two in the top 10. There ended up being three because Devontae Smith, the Eagles trade up and get him. I know that people get sick of this, but what Nick Saban has done is just so fucking stupid. So we talked about it after they won the national title, but the 2017 recruiting class that Nick Saban put together will probably go down as the best of all time. They are now, that is now eight first rounders from that class alone. He's had 10 first rounders in the last 2 years. And the craziest part is with Nick Saban, you know, the entire, whatever his first 10 years at Alabama was defense, defense, defense. They'd fucking crush you to death, everything like that. All 10 of those guys are offensive players. Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. What he has done is just insane. And they showed him, and he was smiling. They put him on TV. He was smiling ear to ear because he's in that, like, Calipari zone where it's like, hey, my guys, like, he knows what this will do for even future recruiting classes where he doesn't have to recruit anymore.
Well, for a while, it was like, yeah, Alabama's going to be great on defense. They're going to have some great running backs. And now he's, like, achieved the final level of savingness, which is we have good quarterbacks now.
Six.
If you come here, we can get our quarterbacks even drafted in the first round.
Just think about that. 64 first-round picks in the last 2 years. 10 of those have been from Alabama. Mm-hmm. That's stupid. Like, that's... teams don't have 10 first-round picks in 30 years, let alone back to, like, 2 years in a row.
It's also a huge win for SEC fans in general because SEC fans become, like, NFC Beast fans on draft night. Mm-hmm. That's the night where they put all their bad blood aside, and they're like, you know what? The SEC dominated the draft again.
It did. It was crazy. Yeah. Other thing was the draft became like, you know, in fantasy football when you have that one guy who all he cares about is getting the matchups where he's like, all right, I got the quarterback, now I got to get his weapon so that I get the double the points when they go off.
Yep.
The old teammates, you know, coming back together. So we had Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase back together, which is awesome. Tua and Jaylen Waddle, which is awesome, and then Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. And if you even want to throw in an extra Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith, who were kind of playing together.
The Etienne thing is a classic, like, Urban Meyer move. A first year coach would make a move like that. Where in the Eagles too, they kind of did it where they're like, okay, we need to put together this offense. Let's just get guys that know each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier if we have guys that we know won't fight each other.
But it's fun because you immediately say, oh, these guys are going to be awesome together because they were awesome together in college. Yeah,
Hank, what do you think about the report? This is the only red flag I've got on Mac Jones as the 15th pick. There was a report from Jeff Howe. He said that Mac Jones has been to Boston once when he was 10. And he got his foot stuck in an escalator while he was there. His croc.
Scary.
He got a croc stuck in an escalator.
Scary.
You're completely burying the lead. He said he was on a cruise in Boston, which is the craziest. That's the red flag.
Where was he going?
I don't understand. He's from the South.
He's taking a cruise?
He's in Boston on a cruise.
Is there a cruise problem?
Sounds like a drug.
What if it was a duck
thing?
Tour?
Yeah, he's getting on the boat.
All right.
But
on an escalator, yeah, it's
how do you get a croc stuck in an escalator? I could understand getting a shoelace. He wore a shoe that didn't have laces that got stuck in an escalator.
You'd be an unathletic person like Mac Jones.
Well, no, Mac Jones ran what, like a 4.8? Belichick probably drafted him to be a slot receiver.
No, he played lacrosse. That's why Belichick took him.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. McCockle. How are you going to say that in a New England accent?
Mac Jones.
Kraft. Ooh. Mac.
Mac Jones.
It is funny that, like, he will have a lot more of a benefit of the doubt. And I know, again, it goes back to the fact that the 49ers, I think the pushback was...
They just won the national championship.
Right. Well, the pushback was that the 49ers traded up. And if you're going to trade up, you shouldn't draft a guy who you could probably get later. But Mac Jones, the best thing that could happen to him is getting drafted by Bill Belichick and the Patriots because automatically people are like, oh, he must be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Hank, you and I are now in... Our histories are now tangled up with the fact that the Bears traded up to get Justin Fields, and Mac Jones went four picks later. So who knows? Like, if Justin Fields sucks and Mac Jones is great, I'm dead again.
I actually think that Justin Fields already is the best quarterback that you've had.
Yeah, Probably.
If you look at the upside on it. Yeah. Well,
not there, actually, but yeah, sure.
One reporter said, I don't even want Justin Fields on the Bears anymore.
Yeah.
That was Big Cat.
I tweeted that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you clout chased by
tweeting
it afterwards.
Somebody tagged us in it.
I said it out loud.
Somebody tagged us
I
in
said it.
It
out loud, and you're like, oh, I'm going to have to retweet that. It's crazy that people actually like follow me and don't understand that. I actually did the math on it. I bet on Ohio State against Indiana. He sucked against Indiana. And I wear my heart on my sleeve during every game I've ever watched in my entire life. So if you think
you did
that
on a notepad, the math?
Well, no, I looked it up and I was like, wait, why did I tweet this? And then I had Jake look up the date and he's like, is it Indiana, Ohio State? And I was like, oh, yeah. I think I was laying 21. Whoops.
I also love the fact that Roger Goodell did treat the chair like it was the highest honor in the world for an NFL fan to get to put their ass on a chair that mm-hmm. Roger Goodell's ass had been on all night.
I'm sensing a little bit of jealousy from PFT about the Justin Fields
About
thing.
What?
You've I'm a little jealous of Justin Fields.
You've just been shitting on it.
No, congrats. It's an awesome feeling having a quarterback.
You went straight to the Ryan Pace thing, and then you did the your
well, you guys
tweet.
Did give away like 300 picks.
We gave away... like pretty much one
double
first
the value.
Round pick,
double
one
the value.
First round pick.
I saw that tweet.
I do like when they phrase the picks, like when they're like the Bears gave away the 2021 first round pick and a 2022 first round pick, but they got the 2021 first round pick. They moved up,
right?
So they gave away one first round pick. So
they traded first round picks and they traded a second. I honestly think Justin Fields is going to be a great quarterback.
Okay,
I had him third on my list on my power rankings list.
What?
Sam Ellinger, number one. Number two, Zach Wilson, who, by the way,
I don't think the picture
of Zach Wilson that he put out
today.
He's
14.
He looks like he looks like a guy that would get into like an intellectual property lawsuit against Daniel Jones for stealing his idea for his app.
I don't think you know what to do if the Bears have a good quarterback.
No,
I think you're like...
I am rooting for you in this.
Nah, I don't think so.
But if you
really don't think
but
so.
But if you have a tweet, I'm going to bring it up.
But I brought it up.
Okay, you brought it up too.
I said it out loud.
Be
bad
at
yourself. Like, oh, I'm going to... You said I'm going to retweet it, and then... You did, but after I had already retweeted it, I self-reported myself. And dude, if you want to find old tweets of me saying dumb things, I think does Cam run our Instagram? We're just old take exposing myself, which I actually think is hilarious. But he had Throwback Thursday, me saying I think Mitch Trubisky's a franchise quarterback the day he was drafted. Listen, I have very bad takes, and I will own up to all of them because I'm a dumb person who... has knee-jerk reactions like no other. So if you think a Justin Fields versus Indiana tweet is bad, whew, I don't know what to tell you.
I do actually think he's a good quarterback. I told you that going into it. The only concern I had with him was his order at Chipotle.
You don't mean it. You don't mean it. It's okay. You don't mean it, but it's okay.
Why don't I
appreciate
it?
I think you don't want me to have any type of happiness when it comes to the quarterback position.
That's not true at all. I want you to have a medium amount of happiness.
Really don't.
I want you to have enough happiness.
I don't. It's okay.
To get to the playoffs just
it's okay.
enough to have your
it's
heart
okay.
You know what would be perfect, actually? The perfect quarterback for Big Cat to have would be one who's good enough to get you to the NFC Championship game and then lose in that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best for the show.
Yeah.
That's what I want out of this is mm-hmm. for the show to improve.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think that he's a great quarterback for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, because the show doesn't already have the Bears sucking.
No, not sucking.
No, they have sucking.
You're misinterpreting.
Double doink, that was a playoff.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Hey, Big Cat's misinterpreting what I'm saying. I don't want you to suck. I want you to be good enough to have your heart broken
I got it.
When you do suck at the
no,
end.
No, I know. I just, you know, this is a fun night. It was fun to finally feel like we got a guy and you just shit on it like instantly. But that's okay. That's okay. Billy, where do you have the quarterbacks ranking out?
I actually looked pretty good. I thought Justin Fields would go a little higher.
Yeah.
Just ended up with a Ken doll, but... You know,
wait, what'd you say?
Jets ended up with a Ken doll.
His face is just too young.
It's way too young.
It really is mm-hmm. just a great, like, you really should just wear like some kind of poster around his neck being like, this is what happens when you don't drink caffeine or alcohol and most likely just soak instead of having sex. You can look this young, too.
He's going to get so carded when he goes out to bars in New York City.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to go out to bars.
At all?
What is he going to do there?
Is he Mormon?
Yeah, I think he's Mormon. Don't you have to be?
No, I don't think you have to be.
What did you do in New York City before you got 21?
I don't think you have to be Mormon.
If you're the starting Jets quarterback living in Manhattan, you're going to fucking
You're going to get
out.
Mono.
Yeah. So much mono.
He is Mormon.
He's mono.
He is Mormon.
So he's not going
There's a picture of him getting kissed by two chicas.
Who ended up being BYU cheerleaders.
Yeah, so? What are you saying? That doesn't count? Oh, that's cheating?
No, it's just...
All right, other big stories from the draft. Let's see. Oh, the Giants. Give credit to the Giants. They traded. Their trade obviously got them. They moved around. They got some picks from the Bears going next year. I don't know if everyone loves the Kadarius Toney pick, but he is fucking, like, lights out fast and awesome to watch. What other... Oh, Alex Leatherwood. I was
clearly just John Gruden being like, his last name's Leatherwood. That guy's tough.
He also has, there was a fun stat that he has 1,000 memes saved in his phone.
Oh, shit. He's a meme connoisseur. He's a blog boy?
He's a meme connoisseur. So I think that's kind of cool.
I feel like Leatherwood is the last name. Anyone else could have been on the board. Unless the guy's last name was Blood and John Gruden would have taken Leatherwood.
Yeah. Who else? What other big stories do we have from...
I mean, Quiddy Pay was probably the coolest story of the draft.
Is that the steal of the draft?
It might be Quiddy Pay if he pans out because... I don't know. It was just cool when he was up there and he was like, my mom's retired now. She's not working anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That was... You love to see that in the draft.
Best name of the draft, I think. Quiddy Pay.
Yeah. Quiddy Pay is definitely... Although Leatherwood is up there. Trey Lance is just a cool name. I feel like Trey Lance's name... got overlooked on how cool it is.
Yeah. I like a good Lance. We haven't had that many good Lances since we're really Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
There's just one ball. Super team.
Yeah. Jamar Chase. That one's a good pick. Well, do you like the Panays? Would you have rather had them take an offensive lineman versus Jamar Chase?
Maybe. But Joe Burrow got a buddy, and Dan Campbell got a buddy. Dan Campbell wanted to draft somebody that he could have horseplay with and be able to like beat up and get into fights with. He's like, this is the only guy that's strong enough out there I can do.
Did you see Dan Campbell has installed cornhole in his hallway outside of the draft war room to try to keep it light?
I didn't see it. I don't like it either.
But maybe that's just a culture change for Matt Patricia, who he would definitely – he would burn all the cornhole – he would just burn it right away.
He doesn't like games.
Yeah, any type of game, he'd be like, get the fuck out of my face. I'm looking
at... That is a big football guy move to be like, we're going to have... You know what? I played this game in the backyard at one of my friend's barbecues 3 years ago.
Yes.
Let's bring that around to kind of lighten the mood a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. What were you going to say, Billy?
Waddle turn away when he turned away from his family.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Waddle turn away, and then Trevor Lawrence's dad getting his nuts crushed on the couch. Like, he... That there's no better sign of like you. It's not your house anymore. Than looking at the picture of Trevor Lawrence man spreading, Trevor Lawrence's wife woman spreading, his mom woman spreading, and then his dad just crushing his testicles next to each other.
That's a good dad, man. You got to make sacrifices.
Yeah,
my dad. I wish he had got up there and he had been like, I want to give a shout out to my dad. You know, for driving me to all those football practices, taking me to football camps. Squishing his scrotum into his own butthole on live TV tonight. He really made all the sacrifices necessary for me.
I really like, I'm just looking at it right now. I really like the Chargers pick. Again, this is just anytime we do like a knee-jerk reaction off of a first round, we're going to be wrong pretty much on everything. But I do like the Chargers pick. I think the offensive tackle, Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern, is going to be very good. And they need that for Justin Herbert.
Is it just me or any time a cornerback gets drafted in the first round of the draft, I'm always like, makes sense.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Why not? Yeah, no,
That seems like the position that's the hardest to project, like who's going to be great at the next level.
The positions that you can basically, like cornerback, offensive linemen are the positions where if you take that, you just know that you can't be made fun of for at least a year or two.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like it's just not... You're good. Like, you can survive the draft without being mocked because the jury will be out for at least a year or two. And then when you get down a year or two, people are like, oh, well, he sucked, but who cares? We don't really remember him.
Yeah, you take a cornerback, a strong safety, and then, like, a guard. Yeah. A guard from Iowa, and no one's going to second guess you, at least until it comes time to make the decision if you're going to give that fifth year to him or not.
Yep.
And then at that point, it's like, oh, that was a blown pick.
Yes. And Najee Harris, by the way, we should mention that. That was the most Steelers pick of all Steelers picks. To be like, we got to get back to running the football.
Yeah, Steelers football.
They still don't have an offensive line.
They had a pretty decent running back last year.
Yeah.
They had a couple of them, but Najee Harris is going to be the one. Like, actually, you know what? It might be genius because their offensive line sucks so bad. They have a running back now that can hurdle over defensive players
mm-hmm.
instead of have to hit the hole.
Yeah, I like Najee Harris. So, but that was a pick that just made sense. You're like, okay, that makes perfect sense. Just have Najee Harris be on the Steelers, put on that uniform, and like try to run 125 yards on 30 carries so that Big Ben doesn't have to throw every game.
And let me just say for the record and put a pin in this, I like Justin Fields. I want okay. Justin Fields to be a good quarterback. But, Big Cat, put yourself on this side of the table.
The hater side.
It's very funny when the Andy Dalton thing exactly mirrors what happened with yeah, Mike Lennon a couple
of years ago.
Of course.
I still think Ryan Pace is a fucking idiot. I'm excited for one day about the possibility of having a franchise quarterback.
It's awesome having a quarterback
awesome
that you draft. It was an
awesome moment, yeah. And it felt cool, and it was fun to feel alive, and I just would like to have that moment for a minute.
You have the minute.
Yeah. I know that Ryan Pace is going to get an extension. I know that Matt Nagy is going to get an extension. I know those things suck. I know the Bears still have a million holes. I know that they're not even close to a finished product, and they probably won't be good next year. They probably will have Justin Fields come in and look okay and then extend those two fucking nimwits. But guess what? None of that matters if Justin Fields is the guy. So having that moment where you're like, Justin Fields could be the guy, and this could be fun. And not to mention, he's a quarterback that like the Bears just don't get. Like they don't get quarterbacks that are dynamic like that, can run and do all this stuff. And it's fucking fun. It was a fun moment. It was a fun feeling. I'm excited. It breathed life back into like the Bears fan base, because it's been such shit and doom and gloom, and like signing Dalton was poor Andy Dalton. He doesn't deserve it, but it felt just shitty to be like, oh, Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, are you serious? And then to have this, it's like, ooh, okay, like this is fun. This feels like something we can watch and have fun with.
Yes.
So, yeah, I know all the problems. I know all the downsides. There's more than enough time to be pessimistic and to be like, this pick sucks for this, this, and this reason. But today I'm not going to do that.
I also don't think that he is the Ohio State quarterback that, there have been a lot of them drafted. There have been
two others drafted
in the first round. And he's not Dwayne Haskins.
He's
way better than Dwayne Haskins.
He got recruited by Georgia. He's a Georgia quarterback.
That's fact.
He's going to go that way. Then when you just say it that way, and that way I can't be hurt the same way. But yeah, I know the Ohio State quarterbacks have sucked all the time. I know all these things. Someone tweeted out that like the fourth quarterback taken every year is just terrible. I know all this shit. I'll deal with it later. I'll deal with it when he plays and he sucks. And like I said, I think he has epilepsy, so I'm sure like that will probably be a problem because he's a Bears quarterback and everything bad that could happen. But not today. Not today. Not today.
Hank, I asked you this earlier. You didn't. I don't think you actually answered it, but would you trade Bill Belichick to get Aaron Rodgers?
No. I did tell you that. I said no.
It's a hard no?
Hard no.
Yeah, I agree with you, probably.
Belichick's got a longer lifespan.
He's pretty old.
And he's a more proven, a better proven winner.
So are you feeling good about Mac Jones?
Feeling great about Mac
Jones.
He
has large.
Feeling fantastic.
Can I just say one thing that... The scouting report on Mac Jones. I know everyone shares that picture of him looking a little flabby. Don't care about that.
I mean, the Tom Brady, they already have the side-by-side comparison. It's beautiful.
He does have large nipples.
Yeah.
They look like my nipples. And that's not a compliment. So, just something to watch out for.
I saw Billy stole a tweet earlier tonight.
Uh-oh.
I didn't steal it. I thought it was an original thought.
What was it?
You stole the tweet?
No, I was like, oh, man, like, this fat picture of Mac Jones would be funny next to that picture of Tom Brady, and then be like, Belichick has a type. Turns out it was done like 1,000 times before I posted it. And then everyone's like, fuck you, you stole it. I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm just slow.
It's a good take, though. I don't think – I mean, the draft moves a million miles an hour.
I also think with Mac Jones, the fact that it's Saban's guy, Belichick obviously would not draft him if he didn't think he was going to fit into the system.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
all the character concerns. It's like Belichick clearly like
his two DUIs.
Yeah,
he looked into it. He talked to Saban. If he thought it was going to be an issue, he wouldn't have drafted him.
I did the crying when he gets arrested for the DUIs.
The cry face.
Those are he's got DUIs.
PFT, me and you were in the cell in Madison Square Garden. I know what you were doing.
What?
You're crying.
What are you talking about?
When we got arrested at the dog show.
Yeah, I looked like No Sean Moreno during the national anthem.
That's why he wears the glasses.
Yeah.
A little cry face. Yeah, no, and...
I'm happy when I get arrested. That's when I feel the most alive.
Happy tears.
Yeah, it was a fun draft. I don't know. I mean, we still got two more days. It does suck. I really do hate that they've... I know this sounds very old manish, but I hate that they have made it 3 days. I know it's been 3 days for a very long time now, but it does feel like the draft now on Friday and Saturday becomes something that you sort of have to pay attention to, but also aren't really like, I'm not going to take up like a full weekend if the weather's nice to sit here and watch the 6th round picks. Whereas it used to be a Saturday full day event and Sunday, and it's just like, let's just get drunk and watch the draft.
It usually goes like Friday, you're tuned in for the first hour and a half, and then it just kind of blurs into the weekend.
Yeah,
you have to do a reset on Sunday and figure out exactly what happened.
Right, and they show, like, it'll be, you know, in the 4th round, there'll be a wide receiver who was incredible, but tore both his ACLs like 5 times over.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that's cool. That's a good pick.
A couple of things will flash up. One, you'll see a good college quarterback.
It's Sam Ellinger.
Sam Ellinger, Ian Book.
Right, right.
And then you'll be like, oh, that's interesting. And then, but if you get a quarterback like that, you do have the thought in the back of your head, like, this was a great pick. Like, can you imagine the upside on this if this guy turns out to be the guy?
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to look like geniuses. But, yeah, there's just, like, Saturday, things kind of, like, fade into nothingness, especially this year with the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. All right, so let's just do a quick straw poll. Do you think, going around the room, that Aaron Rodgers will be a Green Bay Packer week one?
Yes.
No.
Jake?
Yes.
Whoa, Billy?
No, just bounce it out.
Well, I was going to say no because I'm just hoping for
you just
it.
Want him to be happy.
Right.
It's a bad week.
That's all you
got to
say.
A-Rod
just want him to be happy. You just want him to be happy.
Where do they tape Jeopardy?
California Burbank.
That's where his girlfriend's from.
I thought Colorado.
No, not Colorado. I looked it up.
Really?
There you go, Billy.
What's Brett Favre's take on this going to be? That's what I want to know. I want to hear what Brett Favre says on his podcast next week that he'll have to apologize for.
He's probably going to be like, Aaron Rodgers being selfish. Why is he making it all about himself?
He'll be like,
and then he'll go on First Take and they'll be like, hey, Brett, remember when you made it by yourself? He's like, oh, yeah, my bad.
He'll be like, Big Little Lies season one wasn't even that good.
I did see someone tweeted a very interesting stat that no Green Bay quarterback has ever played more than 16 seasons for the Packers.
The 16-year hump. Everyone talks about
Bart
it.
Bart Starr played 16 seasons on the dot. Brett Favre played 16 seasons on the dot. Aaron Rodgers has just completed his 16th season on the Green Bay Packers.
Unlucky 16.
That's interesting.
It's time to ask the question, are the Green Bay Packers cursed when it comes to the quarterback position?
It's interesting. It is interesting. How much, if Aaron Rodgers does get traded, and I guess now that I'm thinking about it, it's probably he will stay on the Packers because if you were going to get traded, it would have been right before the draft. Right?
Maybe. I mean, the timing of everything was kind of questionable today when the story came out that there were calls being made from the 49ers to the Packers. And that sounded, at the time, I was like, that's what John Lynch does.
Right.
He tried to get Tom Brady a couple years ago.
Right.
You might as well make the call and ask.
Yeah,
but then later on in the day, the story kind of unfolded a little bit, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
Everyone had a tweet.
I think Aaron Rodgers is he's disgruntled.
Yeah, no,
that's
he's
the
very,
word of the day.
Very disgruntled.
He is the most disgruntled quarterback in the NFL.
I'm now going to change. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to change it to yes, he will be a Packer just for an emotional hedge. Because I hope he goes to the AFC and goes far, far away. But now that I'm thinking about it, the fact that he wasn't traded right before the draft feels like it's going to be harder to trade him now. And if he does get traded, is there anyone who's in a worse spot than Jordan Love, like, historically, being like, hey, Aaron Rodgers was so disgruntled because of your selection in the first round that you are now going to be the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers demands a trade, and you better win, like, right away.
Unless you're as good as Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be a
disappointment.
It's going to
be very hard.
Yeah.
Very, very hard.
It's tough for him, but, you know, like you, I want Aaron Rodgers to be happy. Every team in the league had a moment, with it, maybe the exception of, I don't know, the Buccaneers are a team that has a quarterback of the future right now. Every team had a moment where they were like, should we trade for Aaron Rodgers?
Right, right.
I think you probably make the argument 27 or 28 teams, like besides Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, I'm trying to think who else. Those really might be the only two teams that you could
say
definitively we're not going to make a call. Yeah, the Bills.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I just Russell Wilson. I just want to see that happen once, where they're like, "Hey, you don't like it here. Hey, you don't like it here. Swap."
Mm-hmm.
Ciara, you don't like Seattle? Try Green Bay.
Green Bay, you'll love it.
Try Green Bay.
Green Bay is one of those weird cities where I think I would have a lot of fun living in Green Bay at this age. But if you're like a 23, 24-year-old guy,
yes,
coming out of college, some people like. don't know. It takes a special kind of player to go to Green Bay and be like, immediately, I fucking love it here.
Right, right. You just got to be a big history guy. Oh, yeah, the Cowboys, the other, that was the other note, Cowboys War Room. They just showed it like twice and no one was in there. I kind of respect Jerry Jones just being like, I don't give a fuck.
Also, Dave Gettleman, the outfit that he had on tonight.
Yep.
MVP of the night was Dave Gettleman's belt.
Yes.
That
yes.
thing was hanging on. It looked like Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah. Oh, Cowboys actually did some smart things. Cowboys trading back because they, I think they wanted Patrick Surtain. And when once he got taken, they traded back. I think Cowboys kind of did something smart with the Eagles, which
should
you
be
don't
illegal.
See.
Should yeah. be illegal.
Should be illegal?
Yes.
Trading within the division.
Just with a bitter rival.
Yeah. Yeah, Eagles and Cowboys should not be able to trade. You're right. I'm excited to watch Devontae Smith on the Eagles. I think he's going to be awesome.
Oh, wow. The Rams general manager Les Snead told reporters he tested positive for COVID today. Now he'll have to isolate for the remainder of the draft. So is he getting kicked out of,
well, they don't have picks.
Of the Rams draft house?
Yeah, probably.
He got the boot from the cocaine dungeon?
Would be perfect for the Rams draft house, which looks like a frat house. Or like the sick... It looks... The Rams draft house...
Looks like a WeWork retreat.
Yeah, well, it looks like the first... everyone knows the first bachelor party you go on where everyone has kind of made a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah.
step up, like, hey, you know what? Instead of getting a house with five bedrooms for 15 guys, why don't we just fucking ball out? That's what it looks like.
It looks like Cliff Kingsbury's dad's house.
Mm-hmm. There's just... That would be... if they're not doing at least a little bit of cocaine during the draft, they've wasted that house. I'll just say it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say it.
Agreed.
You know?
You have to.
You don't get that house and just be like, nah, we're going to take it easy.
I think on the Airbnb listing it comes with. It's one of the amenities.
Yeah, right.
With the powder room.
No pets. Yes, cocaine.
Yep.
Any other draft thoughts? Anything else?
The chair.
Oh.
Yeah, the chair. The chair
we
was
put a hit out on the chair and it didn't. Although
they kept it under very close security. They had Secret Service agents that would take a bullet for the chair.
Greeny loved the chair.
He did. Yes.
Greeny thought the chair was the funniest thing ever.
It was cool. It was the chair from last year, Big Cat. I don't know. You're being a hater on the chair right now.
No, I mean, it is.
Me to Justin Fields is you to Roger Goodell's chair.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing that Goodell thought like everyone wanted to see his chair. I did love that Greeny... thanked Roger Goodell for letting him be there.
Well,
he's like, Greeny,
no.
Come on, dude.
Greeny thanked Roger Goodell for letting him interview Roger Goodell.
Yeah, which was... there was a moment where Greeny was interviewing Roger Goodell, and he's like, you know...
This is awesome.
Yeah, he's like, the CBA, done. New TV rights, done. 17-game season, done. Like, what do you get a man who's done it all? It's like, Jesus Christ, Greeny.
Concussion's not a problem
nope,
anymore.
Doesn't happen. Mm-hmm.
Roger Goodell solved COVID. Yes. We're getting fans back next year.
Yes. It was just such a fucking funny interview. But you know what? Credit to Greeny in the fact that he has put himself in a spot in his career where he gets to interview Roger Goodell, because a lot of people don't, because they know a lot of people would just ask Roger Goodell a real question.
Mm-hmm.
Greeny knows that's off limits.
Who do you think was the safest pick of the draft? That's the conversation I like having.
Oh.
I think the safest pick of the draft, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts, or you could just say Trevor Lawrence. But yeah, Kyle Pitts.
Long hair.
Kyle Pitts would probably be the safest pick of the draft. Maybe Penei Sewell.
No, he's a little bit of a wild card because we don't know if he loves football. He took the year off.
And Detroit will test a man on that.
It absolutely will. You could make
right
the argument. Jamin Davis from Kentucky.
Dude, his abs are insane.
It's actually nuts. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
And it's also a safe pick because even if he's just like an average linebacker, the defense that he's on right now, it's the Falcons offense.
The guys
defense,
in front of him.
Everybody is a first round right. pick on that Washington football team defense.
Right. The guys in front of him will make him look good no matter what.
Yep.
But he probably is really good because I don't know. You can't get those abs and not be like those are comic book abs.
He's like the guy from Baylor. What's his name in that meme?
Sean Oakman.
Yeah. He's the new, he's the family man, Sean Oakman.
Yeah. What were you going to say there, Jake? What?
Sean Oakman, but you beat me too.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. Any other notes?
We get any good memes out of the draft? We'll have to ask Leatherwood about that. He probably has them.
Mm-hmm. A thousand memes.
Yeah, that's too many memes.
That way too many memes.
How many different variations of SpongeBob? I bet his SpongeBob collection is elite.
Yeah.
Probably got like hundreds of those.
Vin Dog has to go one-on-one versus him. What are you going to say, Billy?
Just the Waddle turn away. Everyone's been going off about that.
Waddle turn away. That always sucks when someone turns away or like some like weird draft moment. Where, like, someone gets snubbed.
Mm-hmm.
Or I did see Penei Sewell's family, like, his dad, I think, great get-off-the-couch energy, which is hard to do. Because it's like big guys all sitting on a couch. He popped off that couch.
He was the first man off the couch. I like that. I like getting the boys fired up.
That means good genetics.
You know what I didn't see enough of this year? I love seeing just like really big dads in the draft. I'm talking, I need at least one 400-pound dad.
Gigantic dads. Yes, I agree with you. We were sorely missing gigantic fathers. All right, let's do, we got Randy Moss, so we're going to do some Kentucky Derby preview, and then we are going to do Firefest and bid adieu to our dear Billy Football for just a short period of time while he goes on, was it Rumspringa?
Rumspringa. Rumspringa. Pray chug.
Yeah. All right, before we get to...
What was the other one we said?
How Billy got his chug back.
How fella got his booze back.
Yeah.
Just need to get my degree.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. Okay, we're going to get to our good friend Randy Moss, a little Kentucky Derby preview, and then we're going to finish up with Firefest. But before we do that...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, here he is, Randy Moss. Okay, we now welcome on one of our favorite recurring guests, longtime recurring guest, for 5+ years now. The Kentucky Derby is back to being the first Saturday in May, and we have our guy, Randy Moss, who will be part of the broadcast on NBC on Friday and Saturday. Don't forget the Oaks on Friday. We're very excited. Randy, it's great to see your face. It's great to have you back. It feels like the world has restored to normalcy with the Kentucky Derby racing on Saturday.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, it feels a whole hell of a lot more normal than it did last September.
Yes.
When they're running the first Saturday in September. But I'll tell you, I mean, I've been here since Monday, which is fantastic because the last 11 races NBC has done, 10 of them have been in a studio and not at a racetrack. So it's great to actually be here on site. But Louisville's been a ghost town all week. I mean, the hotel that we're staying at downtown is normally just like so busy all Derby week. And NBC has basically got the hotel to itself so far. It's going to be interesting to see now for the rest of the weekend, starting tonight, you know, because these hotel rooms are typically booked because they make you pay three nights. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. So hopefully we'll see a lot more activity picking up.
Yes.
Yes.
And what's the crowd situation going to be like this year? Is it full capacity? Are they letting you double fist some bourbons out there?
No, they're only allowing people in reserved seating to be in the grandstand, right? And they're not a full contingent because they want to be socially distanced. So like 50,000 or something like that in the grandstand, if I'm not mistaken. Don't hold me to that. Something like that. And no general admission except in the infield. If you don't have a place to sit, you have to go to the infield. But they're capping the number of people that they'll allow in the infield. You know, it's always been a free-for-all in the past. As many people as they can fit in there, that's great, but not this year.
I've got a dumb question about that. Do the horses run differently when there's a big crowd screaming at them?
Yeah, they don't like it.
Really?
Yeah, look, I had this question last year when there's the spectatorless Kentucky Derby, and a media person that I will not name asked me on a radio interview, won't the horses not run as well without the crowd to spur them on, without energy of the crowd, you know, because golfers talk about that, right? And I'm like, no, look, horses like tranquility, horses like peace and quiet. They hate loud noises. So horses run in the Kentucky Derby and run well in spite of the big crowd and the raucous atmosphere. They'd rather have it really quiet.
What about the best horses, though? Because I feel like I was lucky enough to see American Pharoah at the Breeders' Cup, and it felt like that type of horse, and maybe it's just because it was such an incredible horse, but it felt like that type of horse fed off the crowd and was like almost like, yeah, like everyone's rooting for me. I'm going to make this even bigger of a win. I'm going to kick everyone's ass.
He's a different case, probably. You're right, because American Pharoah was the most chill, laid back, surfer dude kind of horse that you're ever going to see at a race. I mean, and you, all you got to do is remember after he swept the Triple Crown, when they had him on the Today Show and let him out, and there's Bob Baffert in a lawn chair. And, you know, there's, I think the owner Zayat and maybe Victor Espinosa, they're all in lawn chairs sitting there, and the horse is just standing right behind them, just kind of nice and quiet, hanging his head, all's well. A horse is just very rare for a typically high strung thoroughbred racehorse to be that chill, but that, you know, he was.
He was built different. He was the sports person of the year.
Yes.
That was the big debate that year.
Yes.
It's like Serena Williams or a horse. Which one's going to win? They picked the horse. We talked real quick before we started recording here that Aaron Rodgers is going to be at the Kentucky Derby. I saw Ian Rappaport put out a tweet about that earlier. You're going to be at the Kentucky Derby. Just, you should ask him a leading question if you get a chance to, and just be like, so, you really like the Broncos, huh? You really like what? Like, a little horse pun. You like Colts or Broncos mm-hmm. more? Just kind of like toss that out there. See if you can get a reaction out of him, because you would totally usurp Adam Schefter as the number one NFL Randy Moss in the world.
Sure. I'm already the original Randy Moss. I'm the OG, right?
Yep.
But, you know,
that's a fact. Yes. All right. Let's talk about the race. So,
all right.
We obviously had the streak. It was 6 in a row, I want to say, of favorites broken the last couple of years, but everyone, you know, I think gets transition or sees the favorite now, especially after that run of 6 years in a row where they're like, okay, Kentucky Derby favorite, usually a good bet. Essential Quality. Did I see Mattress Mac already put $2 million on it? So Essential Quality is the favorite. You can't really pick this horse apart. I would like to hear you pick it apart, though, because it is a phenomenal horse that is undefeated and looks great.
There's only one criticism that you can level at Essential Quality, I think, that's valid. And that is that although he is extremely consistent in all sorts of different circumstances, he's yet to run what most people would consider to be a fast race by Kentucky Derby favorite standards. But the entire field so far has been somewhat subpar when it comes to how fast that they've run in all the different speed figure metrics, right? But that's the one knock on him that's legitimate. If one of these horses, and they're also lightly raced, it's entirely possible that one of these horses all of a sudden takes a big step forward in the Kentucky Derby, right? Improves a lot in their fourth race or their fifth race. And if that happens, they'll probably beat him because he's very, very steady, and it's more difficult to imagine a big step forward for him than it would be maybe for some of the other horses. But you're right. He's done nothing wrong. He's a perfect 5 for 5. He's won on the lead. He's won off the pace. He's won inside. He's won outside. He's won with a fast pace, slow pace, sloppy track, fast track. He's just a machine so far. He runs his race every time.
Okay, quick follow-up on that, because the speed metrics, I'm a terrible horse handicapper, but I do actually like looking at that. Rock Your World, if I'm not wrong, is technically run the fastest in a race of anyone in this race. How much do you look at that of, like, okay, this horse maybe one time ran just so much faster than everyone else, but it was only one time. So how do you handicap that and put that into your formula where it's like their top end speed could beat anyone else, but can they get to that top end speed every race?
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's three different speed metrics that are commonly used in thoroughbred racing by your big horse players. There's the buyer speed figures. I'm one of the management people that does the buyer speed figures, which is Andrew Beyer, which is what you're referring to.
Yep.
Your world. Then there's the sheets. And then there's the Ragazin's numbers. So, but those two have Essential Quality with the better number than Rock Your World. So it kind of depends on which one you're looking at. I personally think Rock Your World ran the faster race. But to your point, you have to look at the Santa Anita Derby and you have to say, okay, what's the chance that he's going to get the same type of setup in the Kentucky Derby that he got in the Santa Anita Derby? It's not just how fast they ran, it's how they ran fast. Okay, that's an old cliche in horse racing. So in the Santa Anita Derby, Rocked Your World went straight to the lead. He set a fast pace, but he was on the lead, and he had the rail. He breaks from post 15 in the Kentucky Derby. There is some other speed inside of him. His jockey, Joel Rosario, is not the kind of jockey that typically is over-aggressive in the first part of a race. So I'm thinking that, and the trainer John Sadler has said this as well, I'm thinking that you may see Rock Your World sitting second and maybe possibly even third in the first part of the race as opposed to on the lead and the rail. So he may be slightly vulnerable because of that.
Okay. You said that Essential Quality hasn't run a fast enough race that would typically win like a fast Kentucky Derby. Is it common to have a horse, like an elite top level horse, that just runs fast enough to win in whatever race that horse is in? Essentially it's more about like competing against the horses next to him and not just like driving to run the fastest possible race all the time.
You know, there are horses who are, I guess the best way to describe it is they're herd animals. Okay. By nature, horses don't run away from other horses because they like the safety of the herd. So horses have to be trained to separate themselves from the field and run away from what their natural innate protection would be and win by 5, 6, 7 lengths. So yes, there are some horses that they'll run like a bat out of hell, and they'll get right up to the horse on the lead as if they could blow right by, and then they'll stay there and they'll run with that horse all the way to the wire, and they'll win by a head or a neck or a nose when they could have won by more. But Essential Quality has already left horses behind in some of his other races. So he's not really like that. I don't think he's the type of horse that just runs as fast as he can. I think so far, the fact that he hasn't run very fast is just a function of that's his ability.
We're going to get back to Randy Moss in a second. Before we do, I want to talk to you guys about...
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Now here's more Randy Moss.
So the other, you know, we were talking about the favorite, Essential Quality. The other thing you can do at Kentucky Derby that usually gets you to the winner's circle is just bet on Bob Baffert's horse. So if he wins this, am I right that he would be, I think it's the record, 7 yep. Kentucky Derby wins. He's got yep. Medina Spirit. Talk to me about that horse. Is that a horse that I should be betting on or maybe putting in an exotic? Or how do you see that one running out?
Yeah, look, when Bob retires, I think he's in his late 60s, but he's going strong. He'll be the most successful horse trainer of all time. So it's, you know, it's fantastic that we're getting a chance to live this right now and see Bob and what he's doing in these Kentucky Derbies and stuff. He's not terribly confident about Medina Spirit, because if you went back like 3-4 months ago and looked at the horses Bob was preparing for the Kentucky Derby, Medina Spirit would have been like 4th or 5th on his depth chart. And now they've kind of one by one fallen by the wayside because of injury or because they weren't running very well. They were disappointing. And he's left with Medina Spirit, who is a decent horse. He's a horse that's the classic overachiever. He runs his heart out every single race, fights. He's just got a limit to his ability. And as Bob pointed out the other day, he's got to take a step forward and he's got to run a little faster than he's been running. And in Bob's words, some of the other leading contenders have to drop passes in order for Medina Spirit to win the race. But I tell you what, he would be a fantastic story if he wins. Because when he was a yearling, one-year-old horse, they put him in an auction. The breeder who owned the horse at the time had gone through a divorce and was in a little bit of financial difficulty. And so she told the consigner who sold the horse at the sale, whatever you can get for him, you know, I need the money, basically. So don't put a reserve on him. Whatever people bid for him, that's what he sells for. $1,000.
Wow.
For as a yearling. And now he's one of the top five or six choices in the Kentucky Derby. It would be a great story.
Unbelievable. So is that one of those situations where, I guess if I'm liking it to an NFL player, it's like you get Tom Brady with 199th overall pick. Was that something that the trainer saw in him? Is like, hey, this horse, I know it's $1,000, but I see something special in it. Like how did a one-year-old horse that sold for $1,000 get to the point where it made such big improvements that it's now 15-1?
When he wound up in Bob Baffert's barn, he was sent in with all the rest of the, you know, the young Baffert horses. And obviously, Bob and some of the others at the barn didn't expect much out of him. And so they basically used him as a punching bag for a horse named Life is Good, who was Bob's best prospect. But they like to work horses against another horse in workouts so that they can, you know, get their competitive juices going, get them to work a little faster. And so they would always work Medina Spirit with Life is Good. He was the sacrificial lamb. They didn't want to take one of their other good horses and break his heart by continually pitting him in the morning against Life is Good. But Medina Spirit, Bob kept getting reports, hey, you know, this horse is not, he's not as fast as Life is Good, but this horse is okay. This horse can run a little bit. He's beating everything else we run him against, you know. And so they gradually began to warm up to the notion that this horse might not be too bad. And he's continued to outperform expectations.
I like this, that we're now Bob Baffert, who, again, is going to be going for the record for seven times winning the Kentucky Derby. Now he has an underdog-ish horse that we can root for, which, like, great job, Bob, to make everyone kind of turn back and be like, hey, we want Bob Baffert to win this.
Keep this in mind, too, when you think about Medina Spirit. It's like we're going back to the future here. When Bob first started and he first came into the picture in America, he had horses in three consecutive Kentucky Derbies. In 1996, his very first one, he had a horse called Cavaneer, who was a very moderately bred horse, inexpensive horse. No one expected anything out of him. He got beat in the Kentucky Derby by that far to a horse named Grindstone. The next year, he came back with Silver Charm, who sold for less than $20,000 as a yearling. Baffert said he sold for a ham sandwich. He wins the Kentucky Derby. The next year, he comes back with Real Quiet, who sold for even less than Silver Charm as a yearling. He wins the Derby, and like Silver Charm, wins the Preakness, and almost he comes within a nose of sweeping the Triple Crown. So back then, Bob had all these inexpensive, cheap horses, and he was doing fantastic with them. And we all said back then, God, imagine what's going to happen if Baffert ever gets his hands on these blue blood, multi-million dollar horses. Well, lo and behold, that's obviously what happened. And he swept two Triple Crowns and wins last year with Authentic and also the Breeders' Cup Classic. And now he's back with another inexpensive horse. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but, I mean, this now feels like Bob Baffert going for his seventh. Tom Brady just won his seventh. Tom Brady's first three Super Bowl wins, the defense kind of helps him out. This Super Bowl win, he goes back, the defense helps him out. I'm just saying, this seems like there's some fun graphic that we can throw out there on NBC on Saturday.
Well, I'll give you better than a graph. Okay, I'll tease something for the telecast on Saturday. We've got a sit down, three way sit down interview: Mike Tirico, Bob Baffert, Bill Belichick.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, Bob Baffert, six Kentucky Derby wins. Bill Belichick, six Super Bowl wins as a head coach, and it was really good. And Tirico was a little jealous, because Baffert got more out of Belichick than Tirico said he's ever been able to get out of Belichick in an interview.
Yeah, respect greatness.
Oh,
I
that's
like
awesome.
That.
That's going to be great.
It does feel like Medina Spirit. It feels like he was the Brady to Drew Bledsoe, and he just kept outworking him. Just, you can't go away from the horse if it keeps winning.
Yeah, I mean, Brady's a sixth-round draft pick. Medina Spirit for $1,000 is the equivalent of an undrafted free agent that gets cut by four or five or six teams and then suddenly winds up in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right. That might be, again, credit to Bob Baffert to get everyone to root for him.
Then don't you have to ask the question at some point, if he's able to win with different kinds of horses all the time, like, are these system horses? Is it Bob Baffert that's just the key to everything? Like, he can take whatever you got off the street, turn into a champion.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say he can take whatever off the street, but I know what you're saying. And what you're getting at, I agree with. There's never been a trainer, in my opinion, who's been able to get more out of a three-year-old training them for the Triple Crown than Bob Baffert. Nobody.
And then there was something that I read earlier today about Known Agenda. So Known Agenda is on the rail, right? But it's not. It doesn't like running from that position. It's 6-1 right now, so it's one of the favorites. But people are saying stay away from it, even though it's considered to be, you know, I think the second highest odds, second best odds, third highest odds. But they're saying don't bet on it because it's not comfortable from running from the inside. Is that what you've heard?
Here's the deal. It's not that the horse is not comfortable down on the inside, because in his last race in the Florida Derby, he took the rail the whole last part of the race, got through along the inside, and it was the best race of his career. So the horse is fine down on the inside. It's the people that don't like the horse down on the inside. There's this BS out there that's been out there for years that the number one post position is this horrible disadvantage. And it's not. It's like people ignore geometry when it comes to the Kentucky around the racetrack. And I've been preaching this thing, guys, forever, that there have been a few horses who have had disastrous trips from the number one post position. What typically happens in those cases is the jockey gets tentative and all of these swarms of horses come over from the outside and drop over in front of him on the rail. And then the horse has to take up and has all this trouble and stuff. But more often than not, the advantage of saving ground, being on the inside around the turns, makes the horse run better than his odds would indicate that he would run. So it's a lot of hand-wringing for nothing. The inside post position is just fine, and Known Agenda, I think, and my colleague, my buddy on the other side of the trailer from me here, Jerry Bailey, we both think that it's actually an advantage for him to have the number one post position.
Okay, so we'll never get your actual pick for Saturday on this show because everyone's got to watch NBC. But can you give us a few long shots or horses on Saturday that we should include in our exotics for any different reason, or a horse that you've looked at this last week and been like, I like this horse. It might not win. It might win, but it also could easily finish second or third, throw him in your trifectas.
I'll tell you why. I wasn't prepared to give you horses plural, but I'll tell you two things. One, you're right. I can't tell you who I'm going to pick, but it's not a Central Quality. Okay. I guess that's another tease, as they say. Second, there is a horse running Saturday in the 10th race. It's called the Churchill Downs Stakes, 7 furlongs. It's a big sprint race. He's 12-1 in the program. And his name is Endorsed. And I will endorse betting on Endorsed in the 10th race. He's number 12 in the 10th race on Saturday, okay. Right? As fast as the horses in here that are the favorites, and he ran as fast as they did despite getting into some trouble. He's ridden by Joel Rosario. The outside post is going to be an advantage in this race. And he's gotten a lot better since trainer Bill Mott put blinkers on the horse 2 races ago. I'm getting a little inside baseball here, but your viewers / listeners will know what I'm talking about. 12-1. I mean, I don't think he'll go off at 12-1, but 8-1. You know, I mean, I think the horse is an excellent play. I really do.
Okay, I love that. And then do you have anything for Friday? Because we love to give people something for Friday because they don't, you know, like, I think some casual horse fans think, oh, Kentucky Derby, it's just Saturday. The Oaks is fantastic, and Friday is wall-to-wall racing as well. It's going to be on TV. You better be watching. You better be betting it.
I mean, we're doing every race on Friday. And, you know, there are some outstanding races. But, I mean, you're right. The Kentucky Oaks is the best one of all. On Friday. And of the horses in the Oaks on Friday, the favorite is going to be a filly called Malafat, trained by Todd Fletcher. But there is a horse in there called Travel Column, who is trained by Brad Cox, who's won the Kentucky Oaks two out of the last 3 years. And the way the race, the way the Oaks is going to be run, it's not going to be a fast pace at all. And I think it's going to help Travel Column, who likes to run up near the front, and Malafat's usually running out the back. So she's going to be more pace dependent than a horse like Travel Column would be. So I think Travel Column is, it's going to be a better price, definitely. And I think she'll be a better play in the Kentucky Oaks than Malafat will.
All right. I had one last question here about the actual Kentucky Derby. I don't know if this is a Photoshop, but it looks like one of the horses is a stoolie. One of the horses is a reader of Barstool Sports. Highly motivated. It was pictured earlier with a blanket with a Barstool logo on its hindquarters. First of all, is that a red flag for you? or is this, what do you know about highly motivated? Should we bet on highly motivated just because it seems to support our cause?
That's a reason to bet the horse. Yeah. Are you Seth Klarman, the Oracle of Boston? You know what I'm talking about?
It might have something to do with, yeah, Dave might have something to do with these people, because, you know, Dave obviously owns horses, so he might have an association with these guys.
Yeah, Seth Klarman is a guru, an investment guru, probably second only to Warren Buffett. In fact, Warren Buffett has Seth Klarman's book on his bookshelf, and it's one of the few investors that Warren, other investors that Warren Buffett has ever, like, sort of publicly praised. And it's almost like a contradiction that a guy like Seth Klarman, who has literally, he's a billionaire, he's a minority owner of the Boston Red Sox, and he has made so much money mitigating risk in his investments, will now be involved in, like, the riskiest pursuit of all, buying racehorses and owning racehorses. And he's passionate about it, and he just absolutely loves it. He won an Eclipse Award as the champion owner in the country a couple years ago. He's Chad Brown's his sole trainer. He's got a lot of really, really good horses with cool names as well. But Highly Motivated is his horse. And, he's going to be a long shot. He was second to Essential Quality in the Bluegrass and only got beat, you know, ahead. But he got a perfect trip. He's going to be probably 15-1. I don't like him to win the Kentucky Derby, but greatly respect both Seth Klarman and the trainer, Chad Brown. And, hey, if he's got the Barstool logo on his blanket, that's a plus.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, Randy, thank you as always. We really appreciate it. I always tell you this, but it's funny because when we get close to the Kentucky Derby, and we'll have you back for the Preakness and the Belmont, I get so many tweets being like, is Randy coming on? Is Randy coming on? I think we might have missed you last year because it was football season and we're idiots, but it's great to see you and it's great to have you back. And everyone tune in. Randy will give his pick live on the telecast on NBC on Saturday.
It's been a couple of years, but I have a recurring guest that I wear very proudly. So I'm here for you anytime you want me.
Yeah, we love you. I think you were like one of the first 10 guests on Part of My
Take. You're also the only person. You're like one of the only people to ever have that shirt. So like Blake Griffin has been complaining about that shirt, not having it for years, and you have it. So I'm happy that you have it, and it makes me feel good.
I'm going to bring it for the Preakness. And if we do this again at the Preakness, I'm going to wear it.
Beautiful.
Love it.
All right. Thank you so much, Randy. Be well.
Good to see you. Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's wrap up. We've got Firefest of the Week, and we're going to say goodbye to Billy. So Billy did text us on Wednesday and was like, hey, I was thinking a funny way to end my last show for a while would be if you guys roasted me. And we're like,
that sounds like a nice change of pace, a breath of fresh air on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only problem is, and Billy, I do like the idea in theory that we could do that, but you haven't really done anything. You haven't really screwed up enough for us to be able to make fun of you.
Oh, that's awesome to hear.
Yeah. No, you've been on a hot streak this week. Who I think PFT, you said it was, or maybe it was Hank who said that he's in a relationship and knows he's in the doghouse, so he just keeps doing like cooking dinner and doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
To try to convince us, like, hey, you know what? This is working out.
He's doing the thing where you take the trash out way too much, like once it gets halfway filled up, and then he's just leaving it in the hallway. But it leaves the room.
Right, right. Tidying up.
Billy, you said that you were going to just say nice things about us today.
Oh, so about that. So Billy sent me that list. He said that he had a list of things that he thought he watched us do and was like, I know I've watched you guys be such good podcasters that you guys have taught me so much. It was literally just a list sucking our dicks and not even in like astute way. It was just like Jake prepares a lot. Like Liam and Hank are a great duo. PFD and Big Cat, like, but not really even, like, good at like preparing.
Not even giving actual compliments. No, they're good at what they do.
No, I have exact. I put exacts in there.
That we took a shit. That one of us took a shit. So that means we prepared.
Well, that
more.
Was like the comedic relief.
Okay,
I was
all
trying
right.
to be. Like,
you want
okay.
to do it?
You mixed in a joke. I like
I
that.
I mixed in a joke. Yeah, I didn't want to be like, you know, like. So basically, all you guys spend like a lot of time writing down your thoughts and capturing it because, you know, a lot of this is not just off the cuff. Like, you guys really put a lot of work into it.
This is also dawning on me how funny it is that you're like, wow, you're watching us work and you're just absentmindedly being like, wow, look at them work. Not like working yourself.
They write down stats that they want to say later.
Oh, yeah, that was one of them. It was make sure you write down who's back, otherwise you might forget it.
Wait, Billy, I don't want to be complimented anymore. I want you to just read all the compliments that you had about Jake. I just want you to compliment
Jake. It was just
Jake.
One.
Jake is impeccable at preparation, and he like plans for even like the smallest things, including pronunciation of people's names and
nailed
stuff.
It, yeah.
Like, which is like
pronunciation. That's good. That's funny, Billy.
No,
was that intentional?
He really goes hard on it. It's like something that I don't have the organizational like grasp to even like figure out.
Well,
you know?
I appreciated the compliments. We don't need them. And you're coming back in a month and you're going to be full time, which is going to be scary.
No, I'm actually so ready for it. Like,
no, you're not. The reason why you're leaving is because you're not ready for it.
Right.
Right.
So you will be ready for it.
It will
later.
Legitimately be the first time in my life where it's not like school and sports.
Right.
School and interning. It's like all one thing.
Did you
work?
Did you offer the person that you stole the meme from? Did you offer him $50 to the Barstool Sports Store?
No, dude. It was freaking war. It was
So you did steal it?
No, I found out that it was later.
Billy was just going war mode on the timeline.
All right, so Billy, I am personally afraid that you're going full time.
No, I'm really like so ready.
Okay, I'm afraid because like if you screw up, I don't know what I'm gonna have to
do.
Dude,
I'm gonna work so hard that you're gonna be like, stop
working so
hard, please,
Billy. How can you possibly work this hard?
No, I'm like excited. And plus, I'll be in the office for, like, much longer periods of time, which will allow me to, like, do more stuff.
Like?
Like, participate in other stuff.
Like?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff outside of part of my
Like other stuff.
Like?
No, what he's saying is he can do different stuff.
Yeah.
From the other stuff that you haven't been
doing. And I can start blogging.
Yes.
There's no way to blog unless you're in this office.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, like, yeah. But, like, I'm going to blog about all sorts of shit.
I
want to
see a lot
about.
Of blogs out of you.
I will pump out.
Oh, this is bad.
Don't.
Folks, this don't. Right here is a fork in the road for our dear boy, Billy Football. He's about to write himself a check.
I'm not going to blog about anything unless I seriously have a good opinion on it. And that's something I'll promise you.
Oh, that's great qualifier that keeps you from blogging about anything. Like, hey, Billy, why don't you blog this? I didn't have a real strong opinion.
If I have like a good insight on something, I'll be like, that's sick.
All right, so how many blogs a day? Let's go week.
Okay, week.
Because you're good at compiling stats late in the, you know, on Friday, you'll post 15 blogs.
Probably like seven.
Seven. That's a lot of blogs, Billy.
Is that a lot?
Wait, you know what he's going to do?
I thought.
Billy's going to.
Oh, my God.
Billy's going to like find a tweet and then just blog the tweet.
Well, yeah.
I thought you were going to say like 20, not seven.
How much is blogging?
How much is. It's a lot.
I used to blog 10 times a day.
Well, Actually, once I get into the whole blog thing, I'll probably, because it's not like an essay, right?
No, it's definitely not like an essay. You can write two sentences.
Oh, okay. Dude, I can, think about how many times I tweet a day.
All right, so here's one of the, and we'll go through when you come back. We'll make a whole list, and we'll make the list public of things that we expect out of you, so that it holds you accountable. Because I do think you're a guy who needs tough coaching. Do you agree? How were your coaches when you were growing up? Like, do you think that you needed tough coaching?
No, I just need
structure.
I need structure
and someone to push you.
Yeah,
I haven't done a good job pushing you, but I want the list, and I think that Billy. I'm hoping that we can get Billy. Possibly to be like number one blogger in a given week. I think he could do that. Page views.
It's going to take a family to do it.
Yeah, but we can get him there.
I think what we need to do is we need to help Billy get started. So
by the way, I definitely need
things.
Like,
just things that we would blog, we should send to Billy and just be like, Billy, you do this.
What were you going
to
say?
We'll get
there?
You started.
Just make sure someone reads my blogs before I put them out. Just
we can do that.
Yeah.
Not us, but we can have someone do that.
Yeah.
It's called editing, yeah.
Are you capable?
But like, I don't want to like...
It would actually be funny if you didn't read the blogs and you just became an accidental PFT. Like, PFT puts thought into it. You just didn't, and you just misspelled everything.
What if you blog tomorrow? Could you do a recap just to prove?
A recap of the draft?
Yeah.
Dude, tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah, that's true.
Mountains are blue.
Do you have anything going on tomorrow, Billy?
I don't know if you saw, but the forecast, mountains are going to be blue.
Is tomorrow your first day off?
Yeah. Yes.
I could get
no,
it.
No, don't, no, no, I don't want to put that on you. You're done.
Tomorrow's your first day.
You're taking your break. Yeah. And when you come back, you'll be ready to work.
Book reports on Monday Night Football are going to be great. All right.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. Billy, I know that there was, people were like, oh my God, are you firing? No, we're not firing Billy. We fucking love him. I know there's a lot of people out there who are like, man, Billy's screwing up an opportunity. The reason why Billy gets the opportunity is he's legitimately very funny, and he adds something to the show, and he adds something to the company. So once we get the structure and we get a little bit of a plan, Billy's going to be a superstar. That's a fact. Buy stock in Billy. Draft him in the sixth round, and he'll win. No, I was going to say he's going to win a Super Bowl, but no way.
Just great value.
Yeah, great value. Yeah. You know what? Great fucking value. All right, should we do Firefest? Let's do Firefest. We'll end it up. Hank?
Bill, you want to start so you don't get your stolen?
Yeah.
How many you have?
I have five.
All right, no, I'm sorry. I'll go first, and I don't want to get mine stolen.
Wait. If we take all five of Billy's between the three of
fired.
Us, he's fired.
Yes, he's fired.
He's not coming back.
You guys all remember the great zipper debacle of winter 2020. I'm sure you remember Firefest.
The zipper.
It's back again, even worse this time. Like Norman had like a bone on my couch, and the.
What do you mean? You're gonna have to be more specific.
Not a boner. He was chewing a bone. It just my couch like cushion thing got a little messy. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna put it in the laundry. Just unzipped it, put it in the wash. Went to zip it back on, and it's like the big L cushion, so it's like an important cushion. Was trying to zipper back on, the zipper broke, and now like I have to get this entire. Couch cushion cover zipper fixed.
Three zipper,
and it's a disaster.
That's tough. You
throw out the couch.
You know what I would do? I would just you can either throw it out, but that can be the cushion that you put the blanket on. Every couch has a blanket that goes on it.
But this is the main sitting cushion. You don't realize it until it's gone, but it's like sitting in the other spot. It's just not even comfortable. It feels like you're sitting at someone else's house.
That's also something that if you were like. 22-year-old single dude, you just live with it for the rest of your life.
Oh yeah,
but you have to clean that up.
Yeah,
can you just turn it backwards and have the zipper going like into the back of the couch?
No, it's I've tried to finagle it where you could do it without the zipper and it just doesn't work.
Duct tape it.
That wouldn't work either. If I was 22,
you would be duct taping in the whole thing.
Right.
Well, you probably wouldn't even have a couch, but yeah.
Right, so I have to go find a place, and I'm going to have to bring my jacket now, too, because I obviously never got that fixed, so I got to find a zipper place. I actually have to,
You got to find a zipper guy.
That's actually not a Firefest, then. You successfully waited until you had enough zippers to go get them fixed.
True.
You know, you zippered, you just had them all. I actually like that. That's efficiency.
Yeah, it does. It would feel weird to just take a jacket to the zipper guy and be like, hey, can you fix this one zipper for me?
Mm-hmm. But now you got multiple zipper problems.
Right.
Maybe add a third.
Are you just bad?
I have two jackets that have been
great.
Yeah.
Is it time to look in the mirror? Like, do you have a zipper problem?
Do you know how zippers work?
Are you unable to zip well?
No, you know couch cushions are so different. They're so tight. They're so, so tight.
And they also
I've never really taken one off. Like, this was literally the first time I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just wash it real quick and zip it back on.
Wait, why did you take it off?
It was messy. Like, Norman was chewing a bone on it, not a boner, and it got, like,
got it.
You know, white shit on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I got two Fyre Fests. My first Fyre Fest is that I took way too much 3-Chi last night by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And this will happen to you.
Responsibly.
I did try to do it responsibly. I used the entire vial. I didn't really measure it well. Took it at, like, I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And I woke up this morning at 9, and I was on the moon. Mm-hmm. I was still on the moon. And then I just had to kind of wait it out in my bed for a while. I woke up. I had something at some point during the night, I got up and I wrote down a high thought, a 3-Chi thought. I don't remember doing this at all. It was by my computer when I went out to the living room at some point. I just wrote it and put it on the desk. Do you want to hear what the high thought was?
Yes.
I actually think it's one of my better high thoughts. What if when a team was kicking a field goal, everybody in the stadium jumped up into the air at the exact same time and landed as it was being held? Because there was the Beast Quake in Seattle that caused an earthquake.
This is like a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial.
If everybody at once did it in a stadium that seated like 70,000 people, mm-hmm. would it make the ground move?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. When
we should actually cut this and sell this to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, when they do jump around at Camp Randall in Madison, like, you can feel the stadium shake.
Right.
I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a great strategy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, thank you, 3-Chi. But yeah, I was messed up for a long time. I came into the studio and took a nap for about an hour and a half this afternoon, just trying to sleep it off for a while. My other Fyre Fest is there was a guy with long hair on television wearing sunglasses singing songs that looked like me. And so everybody was like, wow, that's you, because there's a guy with long hair and sunglasses, and he's white and 5'10" and a half.
Adding on to that, all the bars are reopening this summer, full capacity, so it's just going to be, you know, get ready for the entire summer. You kind of had a nice little break last mm-hmm. year.
I did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much every weekend in the summer.
Yep. Friday nights, Saturday nights, if it's just a woman with a guitar,
yep.
people be like, yo, PFT, is this up? You?
Yeah. Yes, that is true. All right, my Fyre Fest is, well, I have two as well. My first is I took Stella to the vet, and she's fat, so that sucks. That's pretty much just a mirror image of me. I don't know, like, I don't think there's ever anyone who has a fat dog and who is, like, super skinny.
It's one of those things where, like, the dog takes on the personality of the owner
right.
sometimes.
She's not super fat, but she, you know, a little bit of weight. And then my other one was I'm becoming, hopefully, a more responsible father. I told you guys the time when the kid stole the ball from my son and I stole it back from the kid. A little girl at Gymboree on Sunday just came up and smacked my son. And credit to me, I didn't hit her. So
it's big. As, yep. as a girl dad, you're learning.
Mm-hmm. I looked at her and I was like, okay, I'm not going to hit you. She's like, 2.
So did she have a crush on your son?
No, she was just being a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
She was. She was just fucking smacking kids. I don't know what else you want me to say.
What do you do at that point? Do you have a word with her dad?
No, her dad was a kind of a beta, and I was just like, I don't know. It's more like you're, like, my son didn't really react, so I was like, okay, whatever.
So your son's tough.
I guess so.
And a gentleman, it sounds like.
Yeah, right. He took the hit and was just like, I'm just going to keep playing. So
at what point do you have to have the conversation with your son? Like, if somebody hits you, here's how you hit them back.
Ooh. I feel like you need a heavy bag for that,
right? I also feel like...
and a garage.
The dads that actually do that with their sons are just dads that they themselves got the shit kicked out of them when they were...
Today, like, I'm going to teach you how to use your hands.
Yeah, I would never be like, my son got hit. Tell you what, you need to punch them harder.
Yeah.
Like, that would never cross my mind.
Yeah, no. I don't think... I think also, like,
you just need to make snide remarks until they feel bad about themselves.
Yeah, I'm gonna weaponize him with sarcasm. That Boom. Will hopefully get him through life.
Yep.
All right, Billy... 5.
I lost at cornhole on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty demoralizing. I accidentally took, like, a generic Benadryl instead of a non-drowsy allergy medication. So I was pretty sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
And also I had allergies in the first place, which is pretty beta in my own mind.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get them too much.
Big time.
Yeah.
I'm not allergic to shit.
I know.
What do you think about that?
Dude, like, I'm not adapted to my environment. I don't know what happened.
What are you allergic to?
The pollen.
Any food allergies?
No, 0.
I think the issue is you have too many pieces of wildlife around you that eat bees, and so you haven't been exposed to enough pollen.
I definitely think people with allergies are weaker humans. I know that sounds terrible.
I think they're just...
I have allergies.
Yeah.
Duh.
Exactly.
Not to food.
Yeah, I know, but like you saying I have allergies.
I think it's like a clean thing. Like if we're like around clean stuff as a baby.
What?
You know what I'm saying? Like too much Lysol.
You're saying that you're too clean.
No.
Lysol?
Yeah.
Bill, you definitely came home with like a rock in your mouth almost every
day. Yeah, but that's why I'm not allergic to like food.
Anyway. There are I think studies that like if you have a dog growing up, you are less allergic to things.
Right. I accidentally tweeted a very overdone meme. We were over that.
Stole?
Well, I didn't steal it. I thought it was original in my head.
Uh-huh. The same
after
me too,
scrolling Twitter.
When I tweeted Big Cat saying I thought it was original in my head too.
Exactly.
Like, were you just not on Twitter and then just thought of it? We're like, let me open Twitter and tweet this.
Well, no, I was eating Chinese food, and then I was like, oh man, like I'm eating a lot of Chinese food. I'm looking like Mac Jones. I was like, Tom Brady was fat too. Oh shit, Belichick's got a type. And then like turns out Warren Sharp tweeted it 24 minutes.
I'm gonna give you credit for it then.
Yeah.
Now this is like in like fifth grade. You showed your work.
Yeah, I showed my work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, I'm gonna miss you guys.
Oh, it's only 1 month.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be fine.
How sick would it be if Billy cried during his last show?
Do it, Billy. Just so you know, I don't want you to get upset about this, but we're gonna try not to talk about you too much because like we don't want you to be like, oh, this is sick.
That's fine.
All they do is talk about me.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I understand that. Very fair.
Have you picked a date? Are you going to come back? No, save it.
Save it.
I do not want to push you on the date. You should take as long. June 2024. all right.
Find somewhere to live.
Jake.
Northwestern had 2 first-round picks, and we now all have to deal with that from the members of the media.
Yeah, well.
You have to deal with that.
I actually think.
I mean, that's, you'll get annoyed.
It's better for you as a journalist. Like, do you want to be known as a journalism school or as a jock school?
Fair.
So, Syracuse, how many? What's
Zero.
The best?
But.
It's the best all time.
They don't have brothers on the same basketball team.
Also, Jim Brown, best athlete of all time. Mm-hmm. You have that answer.
Greg Paulus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don McNabb.
So, they're the ones missing out.
Gate brothers.
Yeah, Gary Gate, women's lacrosse coach, Syracuse lacrosse legend.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. More lacrosse. We're going to get more lacrosse.
Yeah. Paul Rabel, get us on the call. We're ready.
Is that it? You just had one Fire Fest?
Yeah. Billy's the hard worker.
Okay.
Yeah. 5-1.
That's true. Stats don't lie. All right. Numbers. 99. Like
39.
I'm just thinking about Billy as a boyfriend that's in the doghouse. I'm going to go down on you for 17 hours.
I'm going to cook you your favorite meal. It's steak every time. I don't even eat red meat, Billy.
The tallest mallard duck to have ever lived.
38.
Oh my is known God. As
what
long
did you
boy.
Say?
39.
He lives on the campus of the university.
But if you lost, if you won, you lost.
3.5.
Yeah.
Long tall.
Nothing.
Love you,
you
guys.
You know why?
Love you guys.
You know why, Hank?
Even you, Justin Fields.
You don't know why?
Obama?
What? Please help me.
You gotta follow someone on Instagram.
Love you guys.
Talking away. Well, I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shining away. Well, I'll be coming for your love. Take on me. Better to be safe than sorry. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone. coming for you anyway. Take on me. Take